Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Why it matters on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3. Good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle with Adrian Abraham. Time now for Why It Matters. And hybrid work is improving total well-being, but more needs to be done to make it more inclusive. It's no secret that, you know, moving forward, hybrid work arrangements will be a norm. And according to a new global Cisco study, hybrid working has improved total employee well-being, work-life balance and performance in Singapore. While organizations have benefited from higher employee productivity levels, more needs to be done to build an inclusive culture and fully embedded hybrid work arrangements to boost readiness levels and enhance employee experience. The study revealed that only 1 in 5, which is about 19% of Singapore employees, think that their company is very prepared for a hybrid work future. This is lower than the global average of 23%. So what more can be done by companies to ensure they are more prepared for a hybrid work arrangement world? We have on the line Anupam Trehan, Senior Director, People and Communities, Cisco APJC. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So Cisco recently released a new study titled Employees Are Ready for Hybrid Work. But are you? Tell us more about this study.
Absolutely. My pleasure to. But before I jump into the study, you know, I'd probably take us a little bit down memory lane. So when the pandemic first hit all of us 2 years back, we all needed to adjust the way that we were working and the way that we were living. And initially, it was incredibly tough. And over the last 2 years, we've all adjusted into what we call the new normal, both from a work perspective and then also life. And so at Cisco, what we wanted to do was we really wanted to understand how this journey has been for employees over the last 2 years and what is it that they are looking forward to in the future with respect to work as well. So we did this global study where we had over 28,000 respondents across 27 countries globally. I think with the exception of Antarctica, we surveyed every other country. And the results were really interesting, Adrian. So we found out a couple of things, right? We found out that this whole hybrid working environment that all of us have been experiencing over the last 2 years has really improved overall performance. It's improved work-life balance and well-being. And what our respondents specifically in Singapore said, one, they're getting more work done. So 56% of employees in Singapore felt that the quality of work has improved. 60% said that their productivity has improved. And 50% said that their job knowledge and skills have improved. What was interesting, and I remember that this was always a concern when the pandemic started and all of us were, you know, balancing work and life with respect to, hey, how does this impact well-being? You know, how do we start to take care of ourselves? How do we start to take care of our teams? And what our research actually showed that hybrid working actually has shown improvement on all aspects of well-being, whether that's social, whether that's physical, whether that's financial, whether it's emotional and mental. And what was really interesting to note is that 86%, which is a huge majority, said that the ability to work from anywhere has made them happier. So that was really interesting for us to see and learn from this research.
Yeah, Anupam, thanks for that introduction. You know, the aim of this study, what did Cisco actually want to achieve from all of this?
What we really wanted to understand was how the experience and the journey for people have been over the last 2 years. How has it worked for them? But also, as you start to think forward, one of the things we do know that the way we work has changed significantly. So it is not going to go back to the way that it was pre-pandemic. So what we really wanted to also understand is from an employee perspective, how do they see the future of work? And what was very, very clear, what we also realized with the study, and I will also say this, ours is not the only study that speaks about this, but employees are looking for flexibility and choice. And that was one of the things that came out very, very clearly in our study as well.
Yeah, very interesting as well. Before we dive deeper into this topic, give us your own clear definition of what hybrid work is.
All right. Now, that's the fun one, right? Because hybrid work is such an interesting one. And depending on whom you speak to, everybody has a different definition of hybrid. One thing is really clear. Hybrid is not about being fully in office or being fully remote. The way that I see hybrid is, or the way that I would define hybrid is, it is all about choice that I as an employee have about where I would like to work. right? So whether that could be I could come into office some days, I may want to work from home some days, I may want to just catch up and grab lunch with my colleagues and maybe work in Starbucks or one of the shared work facilities one day. So it's about the flexibility and choice. Having said that, I will say that hybrid is something that organizations need to define based on the industry that they're a part of and also based on their culture and values. And that's what makes hybrid very, very interesting. One, because the definition is not consistent. Secondly, it's incredibly difficult and there is no playbook for it.
And speaking from experience, I mean, were you also under this hybrid work model? What more can you share about, you know, did that make you more productive or happier or, you know, give us your personal experience?
Absolutely, yes. So yes, I have been hybrid for the last, 2.5 years. And it is interesting, when we first went to work from home, so back in March 2020 at Cisco, we decided to go into mandatory work from home because with the pandemic and everything that was evolving, the health and safety of our employees was front and center. And so we decided to do mandatory work from home. What was very interesting for me personally was, you know, at Cisco, we've always had the opportunity to work remotely. And I have worked from home previously. But suddenly when I had to go to work full time, from home, it was difficult. It was incredibly difficult because there was me working from home. Schools became virtual as well. So it wasn't just me working from home as I had done pre-pandemic. I suddenly had my kids at home. They were studying. There was me working. I had to cook. I had to clean the house. It was tough, right? And then over a period of time, you know, you kind of learned how to make it work. So I started to put boundaries on with respect to when I needed to do work in the house. I put boundaries with respect to work. You know, when would I start my meetings? When would I end my meetings? And I will say this, that at the end of the day, do I feel more productive? Absolutely, yes. Am I much more happier? Yes. I laugh when I say this, but I think in the last 2 years, I've spent more time with my kids than I probably ever have ever since they were born, which is a definite plus in my books. So for me personally, has it absolutely worked? The answer is yes.
Yeah, exactly. The study revealed that hybrid work has improved employee well-being, work-life balance and performance in Singapore. And from a personal experience, you certainly ticked all the boxes there. But how has hybrid work helped other employees in Singapore have a better work-life balance and one's total well-being?
So I think the biggest one, Adrian, when you start to think about hybrid work, right, and a lot of people have said that the biggest contributor to well-being, quite honestly, has been two things. One is flexible work schedules. So 61% said that one of the biggest contributor towards well-being was flexible work schedules. And no surprises on the second one, which is reduced or maybe almost no commuting. So 50% said that, you know, just reduction in commuting has helped them. Our study showed that on an average, people have saved up to 4 hours per week. And each one of us has applied that savings on commuting in a very, very different manner, right? Like it's either been time that you've spent for yourself. You know, a lot of us started to go exercise. We started to spend, you know, on our mental well-being. It was time spent with family and friends. Sometimes it is also spent on work. So we all used to invest that time differently. So I think the time saving that we had with commuting, with flexible work schedules, all of that has really, really helped from a well-being perspective.
We're in conversation with Anupam Trehan, Senior Director, People and Communications, Cisco, APJC, talking all about how hybrid work is improving the total well-being, but more needs to be done to make it more inclusive. Now, organizations not prepared for hybrid work. Let's talk about them. Interestingly, the study found that only 1 in 5 employees in Singapore feel their organization is prepared for hybrid work. Now, why is this the case here?
I would say, and you're bang on, Adrian, for 19% of our employees said that they feel that the organizations are not ready for hybrid. And I think there are two aspects that organizations need to really, really double down on when we start to think about hybrid. Now, I will caveat this because, you know, based on different organizations, based on different industries, you know, hybrid may start to look very, very different. So organizations do need to think about hybrid in a manner that is very, very true to them. Now, the two core things that every organization needs to really, really think about, one is technology and the other is culture. Technology is probably the easier one to solve for because if you are truly looking at powering hybrid working, technology becomes an enabler. the ability for people to connect to work seamlessly from wherever they are working, the ability to connect seamlessly to work on whichever device you're working, right? So whether it's networking, you know, the ability to collaborate, right? Like, so you need to have collaboration platforms that allow your employees to connect, to engage, to innovate together. So how do you invest in those? Last but not the least, I think both organizations and employees also value security. So you want to be able to work in a very, very secure environment. So when you start to look at technology, the investments that we need to make in both networking and collaboration and security becomes increasingly important, but also starting to look at tools and platforms that are responsible for people to do their work seamlessly. So we almost have to start to look at technology with the lens of an enabler, with the lens of a connector, and with the lens of an experience curator. So technology is going to be a key one that organizations will need to double down and look in as they start to think about hybrid.
Yeah, right. What's also interesting from this study is that 86% of employees in Singapore say the ability to work from anywhere has made them happier. But are the employers or organizations happy about this? I mean, what can you tell us from what you've discovered from the study?
I would say it's a mixed bag when you start to look at it from an employer perspective, quite honestly, and there are enough and more articles out there. I think a lot of organizations have realized that hybrid is the way to work, but everybody is finding their way in what hybrid means for them. So you have organizations that allow people to lead the decision with flexibility and choice. In some cases, we have organizations that have started to define hybrid. So I think, Adrian, to your point, I think it's a journey that every organization is on with respect to hybrid. And I don't think there is one answer, quite honestly, to that question.
Yeah, I just love, you know, reading all this, all these findings. It actually makes for a very interesting conversation. Let's also talk about implementing hybrid work in an organization, some of the potential challenges associated with hybrid work arrangements. How can both employees and employers overcome them? You've already mentioned technology. What more, you know, can you tell us about this?
I think the other key facet is, I will use the word culture. But essentially, if you look at it from an employee perspective, right, what we all want as employees is to be treated in a fair and equitable manner, regardless of where we work from, right? So that is fundamentally what all of us want. So we all want to work in organizations where we feel we belong, where we feel we're adding value, where we feel we're being respected, where we feel we're being heard, where we feel we're being included, right? That is what fair and equitable means. And we want that regardless of where we work from. So that treatment shouldn't change whether I'm sitting in an office, whether I'm working from home, or whether I'm working from anywhere else. Now, that's a really easy thing to say, but that's an incredibly difficult one to implement, because what it requires is a tremendous mindset shift. And it requires a mindset shift across the full organization. So it requires a mindset shift from me as an employee. It requires a mindset shift with respect to how we work together as teams. It requires a shift in the way leadership works. And if you actually start to peel the onion on that, it fundamentally boils down to trust. And how do we actually embed trust in everything that we do? And that's going to be the one that organizations will absolutely need to start to think about.
Yeah, a lot of employees have been saying, you know, they've lost touch with their employers and their bosses, and as a result of this whole hybrid work arrangement. So how can employers cultivate trust and empathy and ensure an inclusive culture at the work environment?
So when you start to think about trust, Adrian, I think trust is something that you hear, but trust is something largely that you experience. And I think in this new world, I would probably give three examples in which organizations can actually show and demonstrate trust, right? The first and foremost is you almost need to hear and see the trust from your senior leadership team. So for example, at Cisco, you know, I guess, gosh, it's been what, almost a year now, where we spoke about the fact that, hey, we know the future is going to be hybrid. And we know that we don't have all the answers. We know it's going to be difficult. We know it's going to be messy, but we're in this together and we will figure it out. When you hear that from your senior most leaders, that to me is an indication of trust. So, you know, it's something that you hear. It is something that you see. So that's number one. you experience trust every day in the work that you do with your teams and with your leaders. So trust is not a one-way street. So it's not the trust that my manager has with me or the trust that I have with my manager, but it's the trust that my team has with me and the trust that I have with my team. So trust is a multi-way street. So the way that we need to come together to work as teams, the way that we need to come together as individuals, the way leaders have to work is going to be incredibly important. So leading in with empathy, listening, having those conversations becomes incredibly, incredibly important. Last but not the least way in which we will experience trust in an organization is through fair and equitable treatment, right? So as an employee, if I can see that I am getting equal opportunities from a learning perspective, from a development perspective, from a reward and recognition perspective, from a career perspective, I know that I am trusted. So I think we have to start to review and rethink across all these facets as organizations if we want to make hybrid truly successful.
Yeah, it is very important to have that conversation and make hybrid work successful, as you rightly mentioned there. Before I let you go, let's look ahead hybrid workforce for the future. How can organizations prepare for and engage the hybrid workforce in the future? And what kind of role do you think technology will have in enabling a future with increasingly diverse and distributed workforces?
So I would look at that from three aspects, right, Adrian, to answer your question. So I think one is absolutely the role that the company has to play with respect to, you know, ensuring that there's the right infrastructure from a technology perspective to enable hybrid, right? So I think the minute organizations start to realize hybrid is a reality, investment in technologies to engage, connect employees across distributed places becomes incredibly important. Now, the other one that's going to be very important as well for organizations is going to be partnership with countries. Because one of the things that hybrid allows you to do is not just does it allow you to have your existing employees experience hybrid working, but hybrid working also allows organizations to tap into talent pools that you may not have tapped into previously as well. Now, what that requires is partnerships with governments on two aspects primarily. One is partnership on the country's digital agenda, because depending on the country that, you know, you are working in or operating in, the digital infrastructure in the country could need those partnerships. So how do corporations actually partner with governments on their digital agenda? And then the other one is how do we also partner with governments to build skills? So at Cisco, we have what we call as the Country Digitization Acceleration Team, and we also have a lot of partnerships with Netacad. So it is something that's an absolute, absolute focus area for us, which is partnership with governments as we start to think about the future of work in hybrid and the implications of that from a larger community perspective. And then I think the third is from an employee perspective, right? Yes, today work and life have come together. It's no longer about balance. It's about integration. It's about harmony. Some of us still struggle with switching off. So how do we continue to learn about ourselves? How do we continue to learn about boundaries? And technology actually teaches us a lot as well. I'll share with you a funny story. So at Cisco, we use WebEx, which is our collaboration platform. And one of the options in WebEx is a tab called Personal Insights, which actually tells you how much time are you spending in your meetings, right? Like, are your meetings overrunning? And, you know, it kind of gives you a lot of insights, which is just for you. And for me, quite interestingly, like a month back, like I was having a look at my Personal Insights, and it did tell me that 25% of the time I'm actually multitasking when I'm on meetings. And I had a bit of an aha moment myself, because I was like, oh my goodness, I never realized that 1/4 of my meetings, I was actually multitasking. And just having those insights helped me as well. So I think as individuals as well, you know, just leaning in, adopting what technology has to offer will take us a long way as well.
Yeah, the future certainly looks bright and just as exciting. We've been in conversation with Anupam Trayan, Senior Director, People and Communities at Cisco APJC. Thank you so much for your time this morning and have a great rest of the day.
Thank you for having me.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.